up and keep yourself out of it. That's how we'll be effective. And so what God meant for the Christian life to be like is that all Christians would do things and say things like he wants them done and like he wants them said. He's in charge. The more God comes through their lives, the more good will come through their life. You see, it was God working through all those organizations that I mentioned. It was God working through people who listen and care. We all have the ability to quit being so selfish and so full of ourselves that we allow God to flow through our lives. If we call ourselves Christians, we all have the ability to impact others for the better, wherever we're at and in whatever situation. So I got to tell you about defensive driving class yesterday. And so I had, what was it? What did we have, 10? 11?
Nine.
Was it 9? Okay. And kind of had them spread all over the place. Some guy from some other country, I don't know who he was, but hardly even spoke English. And so I'm not sure I affected him a lot, but the others were fascinating. And I sneak in things in there. You know, there's only so much I can say spiritually. It's a state overseeing program. And I can get away with a lot, but I can't go too far. And I don't want to offend anybody anyway. I don't push God down people's throats. I just live for God, enjoy my life, and hope they get it and go, man, I need this too. But it was fun. It was a fun class. I told them, I bragged on our church. And I said, you know what? I'm convinced that we do not need backstabbers. And the older I get, I don't want any in my life. Unless God makes me, I don't want any backstabbers. I don't want to hang out with them. If he makes me, I'll do it. But otherwise, I don't even want to be around them. And I'm clear on that. And it's my own personal life, and I don't want them in the church as well. So I was telling the class that. And I said, those of you that are getting older, you understand that comment. You know, you don't want drama. The older you get, drama's gone. I ain't hanging around drama. And I said, now I want to tell you about our church. Every Sunday is so much fun to be in our church. They come early. They visit with each other. We like each other. And there are no backstabbers. Find a church that has zero, zilch, nada that I know of. You better not be one. And secretly working in the background. I'll find you. And I'll be like that. What was that song? I'm going to find you. I'm going to get you one way or the other. You remember that rock song? So what did the pastor preach about today? He starts singing some rock song. I don't know. But anyway, so I was talking about the atmosphere on Sunday is just awesome. Well, before that day was over with, God created that atmosphere in defensive driving class. And it was an absolute blast. And there was this one fun guy who was off to my right sitting against one of the older women in the classes, and he started calling her grandma. So then he comes back from lunch and he's saying, we took your Trans Am out for a little ride. Thing runs fast. And because my Trans Am's just right over here, you know, and grandma's jumping in and saying, yeah, that baby will run over 100 miles per hour. It's amazing what it does. But anyway, it was a blast of a day, and yet we accomplished what we needed to accomplish. Here's what happened at the end. So everybody had left but Grandma. Grandma was wrapping up her stuff, and she as she's walking to get ready to go out of the basement toward the steps, she kind of stops for a second, looks over her shoulder, and says, are you the pastor of this church? And I said, I sure am. And she said, well, some of us was talking on break, and we were wondering if you were. And I never said a word all day long that I was pastor of the church or anything like that. But I'm telling you that illustration because it was so much fun for me. And I always brag on Trooper Bob. Every time I teach defensive driving, I mention Trooper Bob, and he's a hero as far as I'm concerned. And he always will be. And he's never going to be Bob. He's not Bob. He's Trooper Bob. And just like a judge that retires, she's Judge so-and-so, and she always will be Judge so-and-so. And so I usually tell him about Trooper Bob, first trooper to ever go undercover, and then I say, if you come to church, I'll introduce you to Trooper Bob. You know, that's my other leak to try to see if I could get some of them here. But wherever you are at, this is my point with this. Wherever you are at, whatever situation you do, work-wise, social-wise, any circumstance, you can represent God and look for open opportunities to try to get people to think, even think. There is a God. He's real. What would life be like if I turned my life truly over to him? Colossians 3, 1 through 4. This is a four different verses that, in my opinion, would probably be top 10 most important verses in the Bible. I mean, look at this. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. What are we going to do next Sunday? We're going to take people and put them under, as in representing death, and we're going to bring them out of the water, representing life. Since then, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Stop thinking about yourself. Get your mind up on what God wants. That's what Christians are supposed to do. And if they do it, this world's a better place. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above. Not on earthly things. Not on the things, I want this and I want that. And I, you know, not on yourself is what that's saying. For you died. Do what? You died. That's what it means to be a Christian. If somebody didn't tell you that, they didn't tell you right. You died. That's what happens when you become a Christian. You died. Your life is now hidden. The problem is we have way too many professing Christians that their life is not hidden. They come out all the time. You died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. He's in front of me. I'm back here. That's the Christian life. When Christ, who is your life, by the way, that's basically what that's saying, appears, guess what? When this is all over with, you'll be with him in glory. Crucial stuff. Crucial stuff. If you've never been told this or you still don't get it, God wants to operate through every Christian. Everyone. He wants to be in charge. Here's a revelation. He does not need your opinions. He doesn't even need your ideas. You need his opinions, and you need his ideas. That's how this works. He's much smarter than we'll ever be. God wants to flow through our life. He does not want us to flow through. He wants to flow through us. He doesn't want our side. It can be pretty ugly. He doesn't want that. He wants people to see God in our lives. That's what he wants. And so we have a choice. Be completely led by God so he flows through us. Or keep acting like the religious leaders of Jesus' day. Where did that come from? I'll tell you where it came from. Think about it. What did the Pharisees and the Sadducees, how did they live? They lived by their own ideas, by their own thinking, by their own opinions on what we should do for God. And being led by God doesn't work like that. We get God's opinions, God's ideas, and we let him flow through us. That's the difference in those two lives. So each one of us has a choice. Am I going to live like a Pharisee, or am I going to live led of the Spirit? I mean, it's our choice, whichever route we want to go. I'll probably one of these days do a series, a small series, on living like a Pharisee and truly living for Christ. That one's brewing. And because you really look at that, and we have a lot more Pharisees. People are a lot more Pharisee-like than they are Christ-like often. Now, not always, but often that happens. And they think they're living for God, and they're not. They're living like a Pharisee. The choice in the Christian life is just that. Since the days of Jesus, it has always been, The thing he battled was the Pharisees and the religious leaders who thought they could do things for God instead of do things through God. And a person might think, well, I'm not a Pharisee. Here's what I'd say to that. If you don't let God guide your thinking, your mouth, your attitude, then and your ideas, if you don't let God be the one guiding that, then there's not a lot of difference between that and being a Pharisee. All right, so what God wants us to do is he wants to talk through us. He wants others to see God coming through. That's what he wants. And if God's flowing through, here's how the world's going to think. You know, I like that guy. I like that gal. I don't know why. I just like him. Well, you know what they see? They don't see the person. They don't know this. They see God coming through their life. That's what they see. And that's what they like about that person. You don't let God come through. I don't give a care if you call yourself a Christian or not. Ugly's going to come through. That's what's going to come through. So that's our choices in life. And so ask yourself this morning, what God do I present to the world? So ask yourself that question. What God do I present to the world? Do I present the God of opinions? What's wrong with everybody? What needs to change? We're messed up because we're not doing this or that. And by the way, the God of opinions is that close to the God of judgment, that representing that type of God to the world. Here's another. Do you represent this kind of a God? The God of doing things for God that we were never told to do. We were never told to even say that. Do you represent that? Is that the kind of God that comes through your life? The God of grudges. Boy, I've met a lot of Christians over the years who are, they have a grudge. And if I find out about it, I'm going to tell them the truth. I'm not going to be mean. I'm just going to tell them you can't do that. You can't do that. You're not getting into heaven. You can't do that. Whoever you fail to forgive, God's going to not forgive you. You're responsible. You can't. You got to let that stuff go. So if you're representing that to the world by holding grudges yourself, then they're going, oh, well, I guess that's okay with God. The God of being a loner and not involved in other people's lives. One of the most irritating statements I've ever heard a professing Christian say is, well, my faith in God is private. Yeah, it's private. Hogwash. Now, there's an old-fashioned word. Hogwash. It is not private. It was never meant to be private. It's to affect other people's lives. And you're never meant to be a loner. You're meant to be in relationships with other people. So what God flows through you? Ask yourself. The true God, the God of the Bible, are the filtered God. I'm going to call it the filtered God, where you have this filter up and you don't let him through your life. You make sure you come through your life. Which God comes through? I think there's some Christians that I've met throughout my life that need to have the come to Jesus moment. And to where they finally look at the fact that their view of God needs to change. They're wrong on what he wants from them. He wants to flow through them. He doesn't need your help. All he needs you to do is care and listen to him. That's the only help he needs. And then you do and say what he tells you to do and say. So ask yourself, are there things about my own life that would turn somebody off? And they would never want to be a Christian. That's a tough one right there. Are there things about your personality that keep coming out that would turn off an unsaved person? They'd want nothing to do with your God. I'm going to do this next part, page 5 here, and talk about just this discussion introduction, I'm going to call it. And then we'll get into a little discussion here in a little bit. But if you would ask me, and hindrances to Christians' lives. And I'm going to give you five. I'm sure there's plenty more than this, but I'm going to give you five. Many Christians are not fully committed to God. They want a part-time God, or they want a God that rescues them when they get in a bind. Otherwise, they don't have time for God. That's not how we're meant to live. We're meant to be fully committed. Fully, we turn our lives over. We die to self, and we turn our lives over to God. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what baptism, that's why it demonstrates that way. You go under the water as a dead person. One person said this, the fact that you go in backwards is like you fell dead. Instead of we put you in face first. Can you imagine if they baptized you face first? Be repent. Repent some more, you know. And so, but we fall backwards as if we fell and died. It's kind of how one person said it. They didn't do the, but I added that for effect. But anyway, keep in mind, the uncommitted people in Jesus' day is the ones that crucified him. They were the ones. The religious leaders who didn't really walk with God. They came up with all their own ideas and opinions. They were the ones that crucified Jesus. They're the ones. And then other people participated with it and didn't stop it. Second major hindrance is too many Christians do not try hard to always hear God. We have to do that. Our job is to hear God and do what he tells us to do and say what he tells us to say and shut up when it's done. That's our job. It's all hear him, do. Hear him, say. That's our job. And that should come through our lives. People should see it coming through our lives. But too many Christians don't try hard to hear God. Most of the time, God speaks with a still small voice, as the prophet once said. You got to listen, or you're not going to hear it. You got to create time for God to talk to you. I like to just sit there, and no TV's on, no radio, nothing, and stuff will just start coming to me. And I have a blast with that. I mean, it'll just start coming to me, and I think, man, I need to read the Bible too here in a few minutes, but man, stuff will just be coming to me. And God will be pointing out this and that and things like that. Well, that's trying to hear. We got to try to hear. And if you're not doing that, you're not going to hear. It'll be rare. Number three, third major hindrance. Too many Christians are not truly humble. I will preach about that until the day you trade me off for a new pastor. Sorry, you're going to hear it. So you're going to hear it again and again and again and again. Because I think most people are a little bit humble. They think they're humble, but they're not. There's too much of their self that keeps coming out, and that's not humble. And I have always said this. I believe every Christian should ask themselves, every time they go to do something, or they have an attitude, or they think a certain way, or they say something, they should go back later and ask themselves this question: was that of humility or was that of pride? You did that. You do that on a regular basis, then you'll really start understanding. The fourth major hindrance before our discussion coming up: too many Christians are judgmental. I think we got most of that knocked here. I really do, and I'm so happy to be in that environment because I cannot stand being around that nonsense. So, but there are still some in the world that are doing, all they can do is cut other people down. And that's not our job. Now, are we going to, from time to time, get frustrated with people? Yes, welcome to life. Are we going to, from time to time, disagree with someone else? Absolutely. It's going to happen. But we don't turn around and condemn people. We don't go around trying to gather people up on our side. We don't play those games. That's not how Christians act. A true Christian doesn't act like that. You are not called to judge. What did Jesus say? Let's see. How did he say that? I came not into the world to judge the world, but to save it. Something along that line right there. Even he. So who do we think we are when we start that stuff? Yeah, we're going to get frustrated. Yes, we are. But we're not here to judge. We're here to save. We're here to help people. Number five, fifth major hindrance, I think, is Christians, not enough Christians, look at themselves. Not enough Christians will look at themselves. David is probably, in my opinion, the best in the whole Bible as an example of a guy that looked at himself. He was so good at that. I mean, you just read the Psalms. Search me, O God, and try my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me. I mean, again and again and again, David's asking God to search me, search me. And because he didn't want to be deceived. He wanted God to speak to him and show him things so he could change. I have met Christians who want to talk about this cool little miracle God did. Or, can you believe this is in the Bible? It's so cool. And they don't look at themselves ever. They can tell you what's cool, but they don't look at themselves. And they have the same problem for year after year after year after year because they won't look at themselves. They won't be a David. I think Joseph was really good at it too. Yeah? Agree with that one? Now, Joseph, I think, here's where I think he went further than David. Joseph could have bad people do bad things to him, and somehow he could keep a good, positive attitude. How do you do that? I get to heaven, I need to talk to Joseph for a while. Be asking, hey, where's Pastor Mike? He beat me here. You know, I just arrived. Go over and see Joseph. He asked him to put on all those Egyptian clothes. Wouldn't you want to do that? Put on the Egyptian clothes. And he's having a talk with him. How did you do it? Yeah. He was good at looking at himself and making sure he didn't turn into an idiot like the people that did wrong things to him. He was better than that. All right, so those five things I really think hinder Christians bad. And our job is to let God come through. So Lee, if you grab that mic and turn it on, and if you, I don't know if you got a helper or if you just want to run fast. And you're a pretty fast runner, even at your age. Even at 90, you still got a lot. If I'd have done that to Lori, I'd have really got the look. So, okay. Even at a young 70. All right, so what personality traits? Okay, so here's a little thing I want you to do today. I want you to think of yourself as an unbeliever. You've never accepted Christ in your entire life. You're unsaved. And you encounter a person who claims they're a Christian. Now you tell me what that person, how their behavior would be that would turn you off so bad you would want nothing to do with God or the Christian life. So that's what I want to hear from you. So can he do that? Go ahead.
The judgmental part.
Judgmental part. Okay. Yeah, that would, if you, I mean, you got to be careful what you say, people. You're sitting in the Chinese restaurant. They've reopened and it's supposedly better than it was before. Lori and I haven't been there yet. Lee just went. Lee and Sherry just went. And so we'll get over there one of these times. And you're sitting around talking about this person in church. Do you not know that there's other people on the other side of that bench that are hearing this nonsense? Oh, that's what it means to be a Christian. Tear everybody down in your church. All right, so what else? What else would just, I mean, turn you off about them? And then we're going to get to the good stuff. We'll do the positive here in a minute. So anything else that would just really turn you off? One of them won't shut up about God, you mean? Like if they keep going on?
He said know-it-all.
Oh, the know-it-all. All right. I have those in my defensive driving class. I'm telling you, if I do not say the following words in my defensive driving class, I'm going to have a problem. And in my introduction, I say, those of you who like to hear themselves talk, two words come to my mind. Spare us. I say that in my class. I do. Spare us. And I say that we got time for one story, about 3 minutes long. Not 10 minutes, 3 minutes. That's what I do. And sometimes the know-it-all will keep going on and on. And they'll even say something like this. I know you said in your introduction we shouldn't do this, but, and it's like, and I'll even tell them, if you want to tell me stories, tell me on break. We don't have time in class. Yeah, the know-it-all would drive me absolutely nuts, too. All right, anything else that you guys can mention? Because I want to get to the positive stuff here in a minute. Go ahead, Sandy, all the way in the back.
Using God's name.
Oh, that would turn you off, yes. Good comment. Even as an unbeliever, you think it would bother you if you could put yourself in an unbeliever's situation? Would that bother you then? Okay, Hunter Dykus was in our teen group. God made me connect with him, and I really didn't. It was hard work. Let's put it that way. He was a pain in the you know what. But God gave me this feeling, you connect with that boy. I had to throw him out of teen night one time. I said, you're not going to do this. He had drugs on him. I said, no, you're not doing this. At our, you're out of here. And I forget what was K something that was real popular for a while, KT or something, whatever it was. And but I did. I did what God told me to do. I would pray he wouldn't come to teen night. I'm honest. Hey, you got to at least say I'm honest. He was obnoxious. He interrupted my Bible studies and said goofy things for attention and he finally went to prison. I wondered if he was going to go that road. And when he got, saved. Oh my goodness, did he get saved. Yeah, he got it big time. And he is a totally different person today. He lives way out in
Granby.
Yeah, I guess that's a pretty good distance. I think it's past Aurora even. Oh, it is? Okay. That's where he lives. He's a mechanic out there, and he's got one leg. Why does he have one leg? Because one day on his motorcycle, he decided he wanted to go 80 miles per hour down a residential street of Springfield and lost control and hit a car with his leg. And they had to amputate it. But he's a mechanic today, even with one leg. Somehow God got through to him. Somehow. I don't know how, but somehow God got through to him. And that boy, he'd make a good minister once he settles down. He's still got to settle down a little bit more, but he's actually a really good witness today. Okay, anything else that you don't admire about a professing Christian so we can get to the good stuff? And what else would turn you off? And I want you to think about this discussion more than today, okay? Because who you are representing to an unsaved person, it better be right.
An arrogant
you can actually
attitude.
Do what now?
An arrogant attitude.
Arrogant attitude, yeah. Like, and that goes back to the know-it-all thing. Yeah, it becomes arrogant, and most of them don't know they're arrogant. But they're arrogant, and they don't even realize it. You can be arrogant a little bit in your life, only at certain times, you're still arrogant. Just because you calm down with the other, you need to be completely humble. I think that's in the Bible. I think it says completely. I'm pretty sure that's in there. Completely humble in every area. All right, anything else? If not, anything else?
Holier than thou.
Oh, holier than thou, yeah.
Yeah.
I try to be as real as I can be with people. And that's, and I even in my classes, I try to just, I just want to be real. I tell them, we have a road rage section. One of the things I say is, yeah, people get on your nerves. And I try hard to live with God, live for God, but there's times I want to do some things. And I'll tell them that in class because I'm just, I want to be real because I do feel that. And somebody is 2 foot off my bumper, I'm developing an attitude right now. Now, I also tell them this. I am responsible for my own attitude no matter what anyone else does. Now, that is right, what I just told you. So, and I'll talk stories about that. There's times Lori has to talk to me. Because, you remember that big old SUV that was on our bumper coming back? He's probably been a couple years ago. He was like I couldn't even see his license plate. And I started slowing down. Slowing down. Slowing down. And Lori's going, Mike, stop it. Don't you remember that?
No.
Oh, you don't?
Oh, I was bad.
Just give me one more minute, Lori. I want to go 40 in a 70, you know? You're going to fight that. If you're a Christian, you got to fight that stupid stuff that gets in your head. Okay, anything else?
You guys. The only other thing I would add would be that my voice carries. The person that their opinion and or view on a situation is the only one that matters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that they got the right view. They're perfectly right. Yeah. All right. So let's do the positive now. That's more fun anyway. And that's what we all should shoot for. All right. You're an unsaved person. All right. What would get your attention that this person is? I'm inspired by them. So what would do it? Okay, so there's no inconsistency. Oh, I was going to say on Hunter, I got all deterred. Hunter told me he was cussing in prison because he'd always cussed his whole life. And God convicted him of that and said, you need to stop this. You are a hindrance to me. And he stopped cussing. He told me that. One day, he would call me on the phone while he's in prison to talk to Pastor Mike. And probably every 2 weeks, maybe once every 2 weeks, he would call me. And we'd have a little talk on the phone. But, yeah, so God convicted it. Well, what else?
This microphone is for Facebook people.
So. Oh, I forgot. Okay, thank you. Yeah, so they'll hear better. Okay. All right, anything else that really grips you? Anything else? How about genuine? Is that a good one? What you see in them is who they are. You don't see perfect. We will never on this earth be perfect. But we can head that direction and try our best. You see genuine. That means we have flaws. We have things we're still growing on. But you know it's all genuine, and that should mean the world. That means the world to me. People that hide themselves worry me. Go hide yourself then. No, if I don't know who you are, and it's a hard time trying to get to know who you are, they worry me. Just be genuine. Just be yourself. Go ahead.
Ask people questions and let them talk about themselves.
Okay, now that is rare. Have you met those people that if you ask them a question, 20 minutes later? Now, or you say, well, let me tell you about my grandkids, and what do? Honestly, we had a woman that did that in this church when I first came here. Drove Lori nuts. She had to work on her attitude. I'm just being genuine for her, okay? So,
wait till you get home.
Yeah, she would ask questions to get to know the woman, and then as soon as Lori would start sharing, do you remember who I'm talking about, right? your memory is bad. I'll tell you later. So, anyway, yeah.
That's her humbleness coming out.
Yeah, that's it. That's what it is. Yeah, it would drive her crazy. I mean, after a while, you just get where, why even talk to him? You know? Talking goes this way. Yes. And then if you start talking about yours, they would actually start looking at who else they want to talk to, and then they would leave. So, all right, what else? Again, we're trying to be positive, though. And that was a positive that Lee stated. He said, person that asks questions so that you can kind of get to know them. So, and, you know, they're trying to learn about your life. What else? Go ahead, Sarah. Okay, just a generous type of person. All right, good, good. What else? Keep going.
Genuine compassion.
Yeah.
You can meet people that are genuine, but yet when their compassion comes out, it's not so real, it's more put on than genuine compassion.
So put those two things together, genuine with the compassion.
Right.
You know they mean it. I've met people that want to be in charge of certain ministries who don't even connect with people. They don't even connect. How in the world are you going to be in charge of anybody else? What I would do with them is say, hey, tell me about Danny's life. What do you know about Danny? What do you know about Trooper Bob? What do you know about Trooper Bob's wonderful wife? You know, what do you know about Dorothy? What do you know about Mary? I don't know. Well, how in the world are you going to be in charge of anything? I mean, our job is other people. You serve God, you're going to serve other people. That's the way it is. That's the way it's meant to be. The Christian life is the best life in the world because it's the most unselfish life in the world. It makes the biggest impact on other people. Caring should come through a Christian. That's where it should most of the time come through. Anything else that you have? Because we need to wrap up. We've got like 2 minutes. Go ahead. Right? B. There you go.
When I was a district manager, one of the things I used to say to my employees was, you walk the walk, you talk the talk.
Okay.
So if you can't do it, one's got a hand, both of them have to be hand in hand. So if they're not, if they could be walking the walk, but they're not doing the talk to go with it.
I want to make something clear. Every one of us are going to have at least one area in our life we struggle with. I'm telling you, you are. And you probably, if you're an average person, you may have 2, 3, 4, or 5. But those should start improving over time as you keep walking with God. And so we're not talking perfection today. We're talking genuine people trying to let God flow through their life. That's what we're talking about. All right? Anything else that you would add in this last minute? All right. Thank you, Lee, so much. You do that job very well. And yeah. All right. Let's stand, and we're going to close in prayer. And if God spoke to you today about anything, about being more genuine, about caring about people's lives and getting to know people better, or there's a certain part of your personality that it's irritating to people. You cannot antagonize and persuade at the same time. I'm telling you, you can't do it. You're ticking everybody off through your comments, and you think you're reaching the world. You are not reaching the world. You're not doing it. You reach the world because you're genuine and you care about people, and you better keep your mouth shut more, and you better be careful how you say things, and that's how we're going to impact people. And so if you recognized any of that today, just pray a prayer of forgiveness when I close in prayer. Just say, God, I'm sorry. I think I have been like that, and I don't want to be a turnoff to people. I don't want to be a hindrance to what you want to do. Show me how to get better. That's what you do. And then we'll officially close. So just take a moment, and if that was your situation, if God spoke to you, just address that right now in prayer. Just ask forgiveness for any area that you've been a hindrance to other people, that you've antagonized through your personality. Father, I thank you for today's message. Very different. Very different. I appreciate that you give me different stuff. It's fun when you inspire me with different things that I need to hear as you show me things. And I just pray that each one of us will become effective for you. In the same way that Christianity, we know for sure, has made a major impact into the world, we as individuals need to make an impact too. And we're the ones that are in the way. And if we just listen to you, do what you tell us to do, become less and less opinionated, less and less perfectionistic, just get rid of all that stupid stuff, the judgmental things, and who's right and who's wrong, and they're messed up, and we don't want that in the church. And it just show us that that's not helping anything. No one's going to get saved because of that stuff. Help us to become people that are everything that you want us to become. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.